Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
I'd like to invite you to call in and talk about whatever's on your mind here. We're talking about this report from Granite State Matters on why Free Staters are bad. 603-283-6160. But you can call in and talk about anything that's on your mind.
Specifically, it's about why Free Staters or the Free State Project are trying to destroy democracy. It is entitled the New Hampshire Battleground in the Fight to Dismantle Democracy. And she cites the Porcupine Freedom Festival, Porkfest, as an example of how the Free Staters want things to be, which is to say that liberty versus democracy. And she gives examples of what she considers liberty to mean. She gives the example that if seeing a naked person bothers you, it's your job to stay away from naked people. If your neighbor turns his property into a garbage dump or a firing range or a brothel, he's free to do so.
No, he's not. That's certainly not a pork fest. A firing range comes with all kinds of inherent problems. Property lines, imaginary lines created by men, do not stop bullets very well.
Mm-hmm.
So you would be responsible as a property owner for all the noise that comes from your property, because noise strikes an eardrum. It is a, it's a forceful act.
Mm-hmm.
And you would also be responsible for, certainly, bullets that fly over property. So,
sure.
A lot of responsibility. So I have a place where we can shoot guns,
mm-hmm.
and I made it extremely safe as I basically brought in a bunch of sand and compost and wood and stumps for a backdrop that was, essentially all ledge.
Yep.
And because we didn't want to,
bounce off the ledge.
Right. We didn't want to ricochet. And when we are shooting over there, it's we have a bunch of neighbors that, are anti-gun. They work for the local college. Mm-hmm. And
they picked a heck of a town to live in.
Right. They whatever. I mean, I didn't pick the town. I just.
No, they did.
Oh, yeah. So anyways. But, the police, they used to come to my property and say, we got to come over here because the neighbors complained, and we're just telling you, but we can't tell you can't shoot your guns. You can shoot your guns anytime you want.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a noise ordinance after 10 p.m., and I said, so.
I don't think you should be firing at a firing range after 10 p.m. People are trying to sleep.
I definitely do shoot predators.
Okay.
In fact, I was out walking around at 4 a.m. the other morning looking for a
Yeah, I'm talking predator. About practice, yeah. Not to real life.
Right. that's been trying to get my chickens.
Hmm.
Anyways, the cops are like, yeah, you're right, and, we can't, we're just telling you. So now they started just giving me a phone call. Hey, is that you shooting guns over there? And I'm like, no, actually it wasn't. Actually, so all my neighbors literally have gun ranges, except the guys across the street, and they're down the road, north, everywhere around me. There's just every Sunday afternoon, there's all kinds of gunshots.
When I lived here, I had 10 acres, and I'd invite people over to shoot. I didn't shoot myself, but we had a little gun range there on the property too.
Well, and so she's right then. It is your freedom to have a firing range on your property. But I think Jay's point is that responsibility also comes into play.
Freedom and responsibility go together.
Right, and that's a point she's missing here. But it is, the general point she's making is true. If you live in a place and somebody wants to have a firing range in their property and they're doing it safely and responsibly, if you move to a place where that's accepted and that's happening, then you knew what you were getting into when you were moving out into the woods or whatever.
You shouldn't be able to go into a community and just sort of make people stop doing what they're doing. Yeah.
I tend to agree with that. Now, if you live in a place that's a gated neighborhood and there's a rule against firing ranges in a gated neighborhood, then you won't be near a firing range there because they've got that planned out. They've got enough of a curtilage or whatever. There's enough space between the gated neighborhood and whatever's the next thing that they're not worried about any firing ranges because they bought enough property to where that's not going to be a problem. So a little bit of planning in this area. Not central planning, but planning as far as what people actually are looking for, the kind of communities they're looking for, that solves these concerns.
So you mentioned responsibility. So another thing I'm noticing about young kids, especially a lot of teenagers, and my younger brother lives in California, and it's kind of a city California thing big time, but like a lot of young people just aren't interested in driving a car. And so
that does seem to be a thing of this recent generation, because when I was growing up, we all wanted to drive a car.
People just couldn't wait to get on the road, get in a car. I can remember my grandfather, my uncle, my dad, I was like, I'm 13 years old. They're like, you can drive now. And my uncle would let me drive his 18-wheeler semi truck for hundreds of miles at 13 years old. You know, July in 1993, I just turned 13 and we're in Virginia. He's like, you can drive it. And I've been driving it in a yard, and my dad, you know, this is why one of the things I'm starting to do with our local homeschool co-op is I got some kids, we're going to get into garden tractor pulling.
Yeah.
So it's like preschool, mechanic preschool garden tractor pulling. So we got a handful of garden tractors that I ended up with. They don't mow the lawn, but they run and drive. And, you know, you had a few at your place that they didn't mow, but they drove. And so they'll learn how to use a clutch. You know, they'll learn how to, you know, do these things. But one thing I've noticed is, with some kids and even some kids come to my places, I got some tractors. I've taught them how to drive. And like one tractor is really easy. It's an automatic. And like the kid was like 12 years old and he was not interested in driving this tractor at all. And I he was like sort of interested in it. And I had him doing it just a little bit. And then as soon as I explained to him that this thing weighs 18,000 pounds, you know, it's a John Deere 310 backhoe, it weighs 18,000 pounds. So if you hit something, whatever you hit, you're going to destroy. So we'll be careful of cars, be careful of buildings. You know, and I took the thing and I just drove it into a tree and it just knocked a tree right over. And the kid was scared.
Yeah.
And
a lot of power.
Yep. So he's like, I don't want to drive this. He starts crying. He gets all upset. So, you know, so I'm like, he's not interested in using a tractor. I had a conversation with his mom and his mom says, yeah, he does not want to have that kind of responsibility.
Mm.
And so another guy, I know he came here for the Free State Project. I don't know if he's still around. And he's like, 24 years old, and he's like, I gotta get a car. He's like, I never wanted a car. He was like so upset that he had to get a car.
Did he come from the city?
He came from LA.
Okay.
And so I've had this conversation with a lot of like city folks, city young, you know, like, 20 something year olds in the past 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, if you live in the country, you've got to have a vehicle to be able to get from.
they're kind of brainwashed that, you know, cars are bad for the environment, you know, but the bottom line is like what seems to be the common denominator is one, and I haven't gone down this rabbit hole yet of, you know, where this mindset comes from, how this develops in young people, but the common denominator, was basically that they did not want to assume the responsibility of wielding that 3-ton object down the road, for example. That's just what it got down to. Yeah, they did not want the responsibility. And I believe a lot of it is, you know, like the development of children is being very much like development of children, you know, young adolescents, young adults, men is being very delayed because, you know, 200 years ago, you know, if you were an 18-year-old man and you weren't capable of taking care of your wife and 3 children, you were looked at poorly among the community.
Sure.
Today, your average 30-year-old isn't even interested in doing that. And or nor are they capable. I shouldn't say, you know, capable. I think a lot more people are more capable than they think they are or capable than they are. But so, like, there's definitely has been ingrained into the younger culture, and I believe this is part of the culture war, a lack of responsibility. And, like, so one of the things is, so my daughter, who's 3.5 years old, I let her basically bang, you know, cold iron on the anvil to hammer. I let her hammer the anvil with something cold. And I will not let her do any hot forging. Because she's, Dad, I want a blacksmith. Yeah. She saw me doing all the blacksmithing at Pork Fest. She sees me do these things. She's, Dad, I want to weld, and I want a blacksmith, she says. Dad, can I weld someday? Yes, you can, honey. When can I weld? When you can demonstrate responsibility. And that's what I tell her.
Sure.
And so it's the same thing with you don't let a little kid shoot a gun until they can demonstrate responsibility. In fact, I have a rule, like some friends brought over some like toy guns like a year and a half ago for the kids, and I was really annoyed.
Yep.
I'm like, no, guns are not toys.
Mm.
It will not be ingrained into my children's mind that a gun is a toy. Absolutely not. And they really were like offended.
Wow.
You know, that I was like had this attitude. I'm very serious about it.
I think that makes sense.
Well, so what I did is I basically played a clip of Ernie Hancock interviewing Boston Tea Party, and I recorded it on my phone and I sent it to these people, and they were like, you know, cool, because they just didn't understand where I was coming from. But demonstrating responsibility, and this is exactly what I tell my daughter, you can't do this until you demonstrate responsibility, that you can do this. So, like, she'll do something like haul off and smack her brother. And I'm like, that right there was demonstrating that you're not responsible enough to do blacksmithing, because it can be very dangerous and you can burn yourself. So, but one of the things that I do with my kids is I ingrain responsibility and is, hey, we got to go feed these chickens. Well, you got to put bedding down for these chickens. You got to clean out the water, you know, all these things that we do. And a lot of kids growing up in cities aren't given an opportunity of responsibility.
Right. There's, you know, there aren't the chores that they exist on farms to, for, you know, kids to learn from.
And actually there is chores in the city that you could have, like the kids could be washing the dishes. Like, my 3-year-old will totally stack the whole dishwasher. My 2-year-old is now peeling garlic and helping prepare, because the 3-year-old peels garlic. My 3-year-old, since she's been 16 months old, could crack eggs like almost perfectly, and you know, put the shells in a bucket. I got really nice videos of this. You've seen them, Mark, in the Telegram chat.
I get to
there.
See your videos.
And so anyways, the responsibility is like waning in a generation, and that's another thing with these group of people. They don't want the responsibility. It's just like, you know, these corporations, you know, don't take any responsibility. They're incorporated, so the responsibility is spread out amongst the people. That's the whole purpose of incorporating. So it's like, you know, when, you know, these, you know, people die from like falsely made things, the government takes up the slack, or the insurance company does.
So too big to fail.
Right.
Or they're completely irresponsible, like the vaccines. Right.
Yeah, you know, that
no
too.
Responsibility,
yeah,
responsibility at all.
And all the government agents that enjoy qualified immunity,
sure,
for example. So we have this culture of irresponsibility that is very, very heavy on a liberal Democrat side with these people, because they don't want to be responsible. They don't even want it. The kid won't drive the tractor because someone doesn't want to be responsible. There's just so many things like that I see happening to our culture.
Well, once again, more reason why people who believe in responsibility, people who believe in liberty, need to find their tribe. They need to get together with other people who are of a like mindset, because it's going to be very hard to turn this around. I mean, you're talking about people who do not accept, do not want responsibility at the age of 20 or whatever, right? Like, they have never driven a car. They don't want to drive a car. They'd rather get in an Uber and have somebody else do it for them. This mentality, if you've got that at the age of a legal adult, you know, it's going to be hard to try to reverse that. Whereas if you have a group of people together and the supermajority of them are of the belief that responsibility is a good idea, then in order to fit into that social circle, they're going to have to agree with that, or they're going to feel so uncomfortable they're going to go away. And part of what's happening here in New Hampshire is New Hampshire has become this beacon of liberty, not totally, right? Like, we're still not done yet. The project is just getting started. But it's become this sort of beacon of, here's what's happening. There's these libertarians. They're having this impact. It's attracting more libertarians here. It's freaking out people like this Granite State Matters, who are proclaiming this from the mountaintops. They're saying, my God, this is happening here. These people, they're coming here. Things are getting really scary here. And they put that information out there, and other people who are like them are saying, well, I'm not coming there. There's people with guns on their hips there. There's people walking around with no masks on. This is crazy. Don't go to New Hampshire. Don't send your kids to New Hampshire to go to college. Stay away from these psychos in New Hampshire. And this mentality is getting out there, and it's actually going to keep these people away. So the success of the Free State Project builds upon itself. Not only does it attract the right kinds of good pro-liberty mindset people here, but their successes are actually deterring the people that we don't want, like the worst of the worst people that we don't want.
Yeah, the arch-statists, are, if you can keep them out, because they're the ones that... Well, there's these influencers, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and I don't mean like somebody who's got a who dances on TikTok. I mean somebody who influences other people. And these arch statists believe firmly in the state. They should go to the Empire State. They should be in places that you know, that their values are reflected by their government, rather than going there and changing a place, the freest state in the Union, or darn close to it. Why do that? Why spend your life doing that?
Great point. Well, one reason is because an object at rest tends to stay at rest. Yep. People don't want to leave the place they grew up in or the place they've moved to and have lived in for decades.
Sure.
It's just, to them, it seems easier to complain than rather than do something different, like get up and move to New York or whatever. But that said, we can look back at the history of some of the loudest mouths against the Free State Project here in New Hampshire.
And they've almost all left.
And we can see many of them have left. Remember Pam Martins?
Mm.
She was an author for a website called Counterpunch. She used to live in your town in New Hampshire, Mark.
Yep.
And she wrote some of the most anti-Free State Project articles that were around in the aughts, right? Like in 2009, 2008, somewhere in that range. She moved out. And she moved somewhere outside of New Hampshire, from what I understand. The guy that used to own one of the coffee shops here in downtown, Keene, Bonnie and I were watching some old Ridley reports and Free Keene videos from back in the day. And one of them was the drinking game that we did here at the Keene City Council, where we brought in open containers of not a beer. And
I would be
water.
Willing to bet that half of those... you know, city council people that existed at that time are dead or, you know, sort of useless mentally.
But the city councilors are always bad here in Keene. I mean, they're still terrible.
Yeah.
But the people I'm talking about weren't city councilors. They were the louder voices against the Free State Project. So one of them was a local coffee shop owner who came down to one of the drinking game episodes at the council, and he had a coffee cup, which he had written on it, like, Free Keene from the Free Staters or something like that, and he assaulted Sam Dodson with the coffee cup by touching him in the face with it, apparently, and there was this big to-do about that. And this guy had founded a group called Free Keene from the Free Keene Stigma. Bit of a mouthful, but it was a thing for a short period of time, one of the local hate groups. And that guy's gone. He sold his business to somebody else. He and his daughter, who was a communist, have moved out of the area. She ended up in D.C. He ended up in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And so there's just story after story of these
And I'll
these
bet
people.
They're happier.
I hope they are.
Right. And, like, this is one of the reasons that, you know, like, I've sort of left the Free State Project is I don't want to give my life to my enemies. And I feel like that's what this is. And it's becoming less and less that the Free Staters have done so much work. Now it's the statists who are giving their lives to the Free Staters by, you know, fighting the progress of liberty in the Free State.
Well, Jeremy Kaufman has pointed out, and I don't have the exact quote, so I'm going to paraphrase him, that the bulk of our opposition are old white women.
Uh-huh.
And that don't have kids.
Yeah, childless old white women. That's a great point. Yeah.
Yep.
And you know, I just pulled up the picture of Jeannie Deach. She fits the profile.
But you don't know if she's childish, though, right?
I don't know if she has children.
That's the one who wrote this article?
Yes.
I think in her bio you said she had two kids. I was specifically listening
some
for that.
Some of them do reproduce. But regardless, she is an old white woman. And this is the bulk, the bulwark of the New Hampshire Democratic Party. The younger ones that you were talking about earlier that don't really kind of jive with them, you don't see them very often.
Nope.
They don't show up at these meetings. Same thing
There's
for the Republicans,
by the way. There's
an
intentional community for these people. It's called the Villages down in Ocala, Florida, and they're going to have such a better time there at the, you know, little old ladies Democratic club or whatever, talking about how things should be and how bad Trump is. And, you know, she can regale them with the stories of the terrible people up in New Hampshire.
Sure.
Lots of Granite
Great
Staters
stories.
Down there. And it's just a better life for them.
And also look at what's happening to them from their own party. The Democratic Party right now is in the news for what they're about to do to the Democratic Party in New Hampshire and in Iowa.
Got them.
And that is they are essentially telling both of these Democratic state parties that they are not worth anything. They are going to deprioritize them in the primary coming up in 2024. The decision has basically been made. Now, apparently the Democratic Party has now extended the deadline for New Hampshire to come in line with their demands, which is not going to happen.
What are the demands? Isn't it like, don't be white?
No, the demand is that the Democrat or that New Hampshire's government needs to go along with what the Democratic Party wants and reschedule its primary.
Oh, well, that's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen. Correct. So they've extended the deadline to mid-October to give the New Hampshire government the time to comply.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. So what's going to happen?
The Democratic Party is dictating to a sovereign state how it's going to run its elections.
Correct. New Hampshire, of course, has had the what they call the first-in-the-nation primary for now, I think, more than 100 years, if I recall correctly. It's been some
Sounds
time.
Right.
And they're pretty proud of it. It's kind of a silly thing to be proud of, but that's what some of the politicos here, they're really into. And so even some of the Democrats are upset about this because they like being the attention.
Yeah.
They like being able to make decisions for the Democratic Party and so on. But the Democrats as a whole don't much care for this. And the reason is because New Hampshire is relatively, as far as its demographics, relatively white, and there's not a lot of diversity up here. So what they want to do is they want to have South Carolina be the first in the nation primary because it's more diverse down there. And the Democrats say that's important to them, and so therefore...
They want that for the Republicans, too.
Well, the Republicans aren't playing along with it.
No, well, not today, but it may very well be that that's the case.
If that does happen, then New Hampshire would be hard-pressed to change its view. But for right now, the Republicans are still kind of running the show at the state level in New Hampshire, even though it's close. It's like almost 50-50 Democrat to Republican. But a lot of Democrats don't want to change first in the nation either. They're pretty proud of it. So it isn't changing.
No.
But what they've said is if New Hampshire does not go along with the Democratic Party's suggestion that they change their primary to third in the nation instead of first, then what will happen is any candidate who runs as a Democrat in New Hampshire is essentially going to be blackballed within the Democratic primary process. RFK Jr. was recently talking about this. He's spoken out against what they're talking about doing because it's going to hurt him. And essentially what happens with these primaries is people vote in the state primary and then they have a convention, a national convention. The people who won in the state primaries, they send delegates or whatever to these national conventions. The delegates then cast their votes for who the actual official
and the people's
party
votes
person.
Really don't count. And we learned all about that with Ron
with
Paul.
Ron Paul, right?
The Democratic Party, it was Bernie Sanders.
Right.
I mean,
same
this
thing,
guy.
Yep.
This guy. I mean. Should have legitimately twice been the winner, but you know there's always these little tweaks and stuff.
But in this case, they're literally not going to count at all because the people who vote for RFK Jr. in New Hampshire are going to be completely ignored. Is my understanding Biden will not even be on the ballot in New Hampshire?
Mm.
Because,
which is a good way to say that it's illegitimate because, I mean, Biden's going to be the biggest vote getter in all likelihood in every one of these elections. So if he's not on there, then it's like, well, what is this? This is like some kind of straw poll.
So what I'm saying is if the Democrats don't get their way, and they're not going to in New Hampshire, then all the Democrat votes in the primary in New Hampshire are not going to count towards who their presidential candidate is. And that's going to piss off the most activist Democrats, and they're likely to move out because of that.
Free Talk Live.
It's obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media are distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the real concerns of American families. Countries we're at odds with are hoarding food, financial systems are strained, and supply chains remain too fragile. We can tell something is coming, so we're preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. And while you're there, stock up on water filtration, heirloom seeds, and emergency gear, too, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA USA News Update. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy says the coming GOP House impeachment inquiry is not about politics. It's about getting answers for the American people.
Well, impeachment inquiry is not impeachment. So what impeachment inquiry is to do is to get answers to questions.
McCarthy and other House Republicans leading the Oversight and Judiciary Committees have said they'll look at credit card and bank statements for the Bidens as the inquiry commences. The White House and President Biden himself denying any wrongdoing by the president. The attorney for Hunter Biden is responding to Thursday's federal gun indictment. The indictment states that Hunter lied about his drug use while purchasing a gun at a federally licensed dealer in Delaware in October 2018. In a statement, attorney Abby Lowell questioned a handful of new charges that were added in the case. She also slammed the indictment as a political stunt spurred on by MAGA Republicans. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
I need a copy of my tax return. How do I get one?
If you don't have a copy of your original tax return, you can get a transcript of your tax return for free from the IRS. A transcript shows most line items from your return, which is usually all you need. You can order a transcript of any return filed within the past 3 years, including forms 1040, 1040A, and 1040EZ. All you need to do is go to irs.gov/transcript to order your transcript today.
Hi, I'm your host, Smokey Colbert, filling in for Smokey, because after 75 years of...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Turns out there's much more to say. Nearly 90% of wildfires are caused by us humans being careless, dumping our used barbecue coals willy-nilly. Guess the song was wrong. We did start the fire. That's why I respect Mother Nature and her trees, whether coniferous or new car scented. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Lines are, well, they're not full here, but we've certainly got some people on the lines here for the final segment of Free Talk Live tonight, this live edition. It's Mark with you.
Jay.
It's Ian.
Ian, I want you to, do we have any other lives that we need to read regarding? Okay. I want you to go through the conclusion here, that way I can get to the callers.
Okay? All right, so here's more from the... 24-page report from Granite State Matters about how the Free Staters are working hand-in-hand with Nazis, which we haven't gotten into the claims about that, but that's essentially the suggestion that she's making here pretty heavily.
Ridiculous.
And theocrats as well, apparently, to take over New Hampshire and turn it into a liberty state.
I think that theocrats do see the value in liberty-oriented politics. Now, in the past, theocrats have been very willing to use autocratic methods in order to get what they want. Now that they are in the minority,
well, just give them some power and they'll get right back.
Yeah, they'll get right back to it. Yes.
So, no, we don't want to team up with those people. The Republicans are only good on some issues, and they're not pro-freedom on a lot of issues. But regardless, she goes on here, and this is her conclusion, and I'll share the full link on our social media at social.freetalklive.com. Make sure you follow the @FTL account, and you can get our show prep things that we talk about on the air. And you'll be able to dig into the rambling 24 pages here. But there's not as much ramble in the conclusion. We'll get into that here. So, New Hampshire has been targeted because of its potential for takeover. Success here could domino to other states. The 2024 election will focus on the presidential race, but state elections are crucial. Militia groups will show up at the polls. Haven't seen that yet, by the way, so I'm not sure when that's
going to
start.
We did have a pig show up one time about 10 years ago at the polls.
I see cops there all the time.
No, I meant an actual swine.
We just stop comparing cops to pigs. Pigs are such good animals.
So useful. Yeah. Plutocrats will fund disinformation to muddy any outcome not to their liking. If our democracy's foundations were still strong, those attacks would fail, as they have done so far. But libertarians are undermining democracy's foundations from below, as others attack from above. Libertarians' goal now is to regain control of House Republicans. They are also... bad sentence. They are also targeting county commissions, school districts, and local select boards. Readers of this report should understand clearly what libertarians intend to do to our democracy.
They intend to seize control, the reins of power, and then leave you alone.
Our system of education, Social Security, Medicare, public lands, and any pretense of environmental protection, if that occurs.
I love how they always complain about schools. Schools have been largely decentralized.
What do you mean?
Okay, so fewer people as a percentage are going to government schools than have gone in anyone's lifetime.
Sure, there was a big dropout during COVID.
Plus the fact that charter schools exist all across the country. I mean, you could call them government schools if you want, but they're certainly a step in the right direction in many cases. There's certainly ripoffs that come with charter schools. You need to investigate the school you send your kids to, but that's the thing that was never allowed previously when it came to government schools, was you're just sending your kid to this school.
Mm. Yeah, there's still a ton of government schools, and they need to go away.
They certainly are.
Meanwhile, if national election results lie in question, the situation could become much worse. The path from anarchy to dictatorship is short. The public will accept secure authoritarianism over violence and chaos. Germany became a dictatorship and ended civil liberties all in 1933. To forestall...
What does that have to do with anarchy?
I think she's suggesting that if there is any sort of going towards anarchy, that authoritarianism will take
flashback.
Over.
I don't think that there was anything anarchistic about Germany and the West.
Yeah, she doesn't know what anarchy is.
Of course not.
Just, mental illness, lack of confidence, no wisdom,
fear,
all these things. Doesn't want responsibility.
To forestall takeover by drug lords, President Obrador put the military in charge of police forces in Mexico. New Hampshire refugees from the Dominican Republic and Peru report that gangs at home have become so powerful they shoot people who venture out for their cell phones.
That's because governments won't let them have guns, right?
What does this have to do with New Hampshire, where people are well armed? There is no one being shot in the streets over a cell phone here. It just doesn't happen. She says if residents want New Hampshire to continue to be our home, we must wake up. We must recognize that the groups fighting to destroy democracy are expanding here now. We must join together, large government progressives and small government conservatives. That's literally what she's calling for, an alliance between...
Well, that's the only thing she's got left.
Yeah.
If she could get those two groups together, she's right. She would have some success. But, this is... I believe that the tipping point has been had in New Hampshire, and that now that it's just... It's
never going back.
Yeah. And I've always said this, by the way, that the Free Staters are going to be successful in New Hampshire. It's just that...
You don't think they can keep it?
I don't think they can keep it. I think the statists are going to move in afterwards.
Well, I think the evidence is the opposite. We're seeing the successes of the Free State Project actually keeping statists away. We're seeing comments by people that say they are not moving.
Nothing works until it does all at once.
If I have anything to do with New Hampshire's future by investing in our posterity and teaching these kids to be confident and competent, and then they won't need government, they'll just totally, we're going to really... I believe in a good thing's coming.
I wish everyone the best. I still am of the opinion that Morazan.city, that's the website, is freer than New Hampshire will ever be.
Otherwise, right, we will find ourselves governed by extremists who believe in neither, meaning neither big government progressivism or small government, supposed small government conservatives. If we do combine to save our democracy, we can stand as a model for other states being targeted. Those attacking democracy have enormous power, resources, and reach. But volunteers can hold this as a Koch brothers conspiracy, the idea that we're all being funded by the Koch industries and Koch brothers. She says voters demonstrated this in Croydon when they voted down the Free State agenda and candidates. And she's referring to when there was a vote in Croydon.
You mean when Free Staters got people to participate in their local government?
Well, what happened was the Free Staters, a Free Stater went in and convinced the town meeting to vote to reduce the school budget, and then the status came in with big outside money.
Yeah, Granite teachers. State Progressives gets a lot of their money from outside New Hampshire.
The teachers' union specifically funded a outreach program to every household in Croydon to propagandize them with, as from what I understand, misinformation, and got them to turn out at a special election and undo it. The press and social media must help raise alarm. They must not be afraid to investigate both violent fascists and wealthy anarcho-capitalists. They must portray the pain, destruction, and violence that accompanies anarchy and authoritarianism. They must reveal the process plutocrats are using to convince the naive and gullible to let them pollute and profiteer. Finally, she says, elections replace New Hampshire legislature, executive council, and governor every 2 years. We can keep anti-democracy candidates out of office. The first challenge is to identify them. The second step is to ensure other candidates oppose them. The remaining step is for people to vote in every town, primary, special, and general election as if their own and their family's futures depend upon it. Because they do. And they are obsessed with figuring out who the Free Staters are.
Are they wrong very often? Like the guess the Fed game?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I don't know who all the Free Staters are, so I wouldn't be able to tell you. But the Democrats are absolutely obsessed with this. If you enter the Democratic Party right now, they are going to suspect you. They're going to try to suss you out and figure out, you know, who you are and what you're really doing there.
I just think it would be so much fun to run as a Democrat because
I've done it.
Because you could just, you know, they're so easy to just kind of like verbally smack around because they're just so out of touch with reality.
Well, I think it is something that should be done more often. I think more Free Staters need to run as Democrats.
Especially in college towns.
Anywhere, but yeah, for sure there.
Because you could totally identify with these college kids. I mean, just a DCYF issue. All these college kids that come from cities, they all hate DCYF. Hmm. They all know somebody who's been, you know, has had their life ruined by them. Or they themselves have, and they understand what's wrong with it. Like, you know, and just, you know, that's what I'm going to do if I run.
Yeah, well, when I ran as a Democrat for governor a couple of elections here, you know, I took the libertarian message and I tried to couch it in terms that, you know, Democrats would agree with, right? Like, to me, the libertarians are anti-corporate, right? We're against all corporations generally. We're against especially the government corporations, but also the big mega corporations and things like that. We're in favor of the little guy. We want to have people to have the opportunity to you know, raise themselves up and not have these mega corporations unfairly competing against them. And we're against corporate welfare. Like, there's all kinds of things. We're against war, and there's a lot that we can talk about.
Ready to go to the phones?
Yeah, that's it. That's the fear-mongering piece from Granite State Matters.
Law Dog in Michigan. You're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, Mark. Is Mark alias Captain Kickass?
No. Captain Kickass and Mark are two different people.
Oh, Captain Kickass, did he partake in the annual ritual of the stiffing of the prostitute at the Pork or Fork Fest or not?
I don't know what the stiffing of the prostitute is at the Pork or Fork Fest.
Well, you know, that happened about a year ago. So, you know, I was wondering if he...
Tell me what stiffing of the... Like, he didn't pay her?
Yeah, I was going to say, there's two ways you can interpret that statement.
Yeah,
but,
I think that, if you use the services of a prostitute, you should make sure you pay.
Are you saying someone hired a prostitute and didn't pay for it?
He didn't pay her. You know, so it would be that.
Where did you hear this
verbiage right there? He didn't pay.
Where did you hear this allegation?
Yes.
Where did you hear this allegation?
Oh, it was on the radio. I heard it, you know, where you guys were talking about, because he plays in the band, doesn't he?
He did have a band. Right now, I don't think he has a band at the moment.
He's a one-man band, yeah.
Yeah, he's making his own music, but doing all the tracks himself.
Okay.
Well, it sounds like a funny bit that I don't know everything about.
I'd be never very heard interested in more about
thank
this.
You for the call.
Yeah,
I
think Captain
it.
Kickass is a pretty honorable guy. I've never heard anybody say that.
It's a joke.
He didn't
guys.
Pay me.
It's just a.
Okay.
It's just a joke.
Well,
guys.
It's a terrible joke because it suggests that people are, you know, stiffing.
Have you ever seen a prostitute at the Porcupine Freedom Festival?
Not openly, but I suspect some sort of agreement like that has gone on.
There's plenty of prostitutes in Manchester, New Hampshire, on Central Street and Lincoln Street and the Tree Streets. I used to do landscaping down there, and they were always bugging us.
Now, I'll tell you what: if somebody stiffs a prostitute at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, their reputation would take a real hit.
Sarah from New Mexico, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hello, Sarah.
Oh yeah, sorry. Oh, I just wanted to. Oh, Ian, how come you're doing a show? I thought you were going to be in jail.
I'm sorry to disappoint you. I'm still here.
Oh, okay, you're still there. Well, I just wanted to bring up the laser technology, the alcohol detection system. What happened to that? That kind of got wet out the window.
I thought you were following that. Why are you asking us? How come you don't know?
Well, it was talked about, was Ben Ray Lujan from our senator. He was an advocate up in Congress to make that, and was talking about.
I'm pretty sure that bill passed. The bill that's going to require a ignition interlock system on all cars after 2026. That's like old news. I mean, that passed. Are you saying you've heard that it's somehow not going to happen?
My old truck's
so
valuable.
So it is. Well, I'm just saying, when are they going to start manufacturing it?
Oh, it's going to be a few years. Yeah, I think 2026 is the soonest, and I think they still have to figure out whether it's going to be a laser detector or some sort of bloodstream detector using infrared.
It'll be as easy as a kid using a VPN to bypass the TikTok, you know, thing in China, so we can get on uncensored TikTok. It'd be like all of these things, even like. Like, so, you know, I know so many people have got cars like OnStar, and they just totally have them removed because they can shut your car down with OnStar.
Right.
They can track you. It calls the cops on you when you get in an accident.
Well, I suspect they're going to make it illegal to remove this technology would be my guess, but I don't know if the bill has that detail.
Well, it's illegal to, you know, put these tuners in your diesel pickup trucks. The EPA has been hammering on these diesel shops here for a couple of years now, but guys are still doing it every day.
Nice.
Is that all, Sarah?
Yeah, that kind of went out. But, I mean, since, you know, self-driving cars are kind of stalled right now, but, that sounds like a really next step up, you know.
So self-driving cars, so this is a step between self-driving cars and what we have now is the, at the very least, you can see that the driver of the car is sober. Is that the idea?
Right, so the thing is, a car would not even start at all.
Well, or if they you just have your kid blowing it. Don't worry about it.
No, it's not that blowing. It's a laser that analyzes the breath
thing.
Or something.
Yeah, sure.
It's not like you blow into it.
Like
you
said, look, Sarah, believe me, Jay's right. There will be, before the first car rolls off of the factory line, somebody will have a hack for this.
Yeah, there's hacks for everything. And especially cars are so easy to hack. Even like, you know, there's people who rent cars, and the first thing they do is disable the GPS tracker in a car because they understand about it. I knew guys that used to rent trucks from like these, you know, truck rental places, and they would just disconnect the odometer and run the truck because you paid by the mile.
Thanks for the call, Sarah. I do appreciate it.
Well, where there's a will, there's a way, certainly. Anyone who's really driven to disable this new technology is going to figure out a way to do it. You're absolutely right about that. You know, the person who really wants to drive drunk down the road, they're going to have the will to figure this out. So it's probably going to actually stop some of the worst drunks.
It's also
unless they're
just
too
something
S-faced to actually follow the instructions.
It's just something to maintain. I don't drink at all. And rarely, I should say. You know, if you have like a toast or something, I'll participate. I'm not that big of a pain.
Right.
But, you know, I don't drink, so I just don't want to deal with it.
I get what you're saying. Yeah.
But and I don't want to have to fix it when it breaks, because it's going to definitely have a little light in the front. Like, the car's not going to work,
the car
right?
won't start.
It's just another thing to break.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's reboot this particular computer in the car.
Major Payne calling in from Michigan. Lots of Michiganders tonight. Free Talk Live.
Hey, guys. I wanted to mention that Hunter Biden's actually going up on 3 gun charges.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, but the funny part of it is the law he's being prosecuted under is one that his old man was pushing back in the late 80s.
So his daddy goes around, comes around. Well, I mean, what is the point of this? Is it just for show, because can't daddy just pardon his son?
Is it a federal?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think at best he's a Judas goat.
Well, Mark did ask a good question. Are these federal charges?
I do believe.
Yeah.
I think that the answer is that if he goes far enough, yeah, he could pardon his son. And right. I think that at the end of his term, he would. I mean, that's just how it's done. I think that's one of the big things that Trump really messed up, is he had the opportunity to pardon a lot of people on the way out, and instead he's just like, let's have a revolution!
Yeah, Trump's just a puppet, just like all of them. He's just part of the program.
By the way, this apparently is a federal gun charge in regards to being a drug user. And there was recently a court decision at a federal court, and I'm sorry, I don't remember which circuit, that determined that this is an illegal law, that this law is unconstitutional, and it needs to go away. And so maybe this will move that along. Maybe there's going to be a challenge to this.
Yeah, I hope Hunter Biden beats these charges.
He should beat this, yeah.
If anything, he should be charged and prosecuted for his money laundering crime. Even that, actually, he shouldn't even be charged and prosecuted for that, because, I don't know. I guess unless he was stealing whatever's been stolen or swindled and influence peddling, with the Ukraine Burisma, quid pro quo stuff, and also, there's way other things that are better to go after, Hunter Biden for, but of course, because they're all just a bunch of corrupt crime family, they'll pick this thing where a federal court has. So maybe Hunter Biden is actually doing us some good by, setting this precedent, and the gun laws are going to be, less, and we'll have more gun freedom after this Hunter Biden thing, because he needs to be protected because he's part of a crime family.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then the old man Biden, like, pedophile guy there, won't even have to pardon him.
So they're coming after him, apparently, according to NBC News. When he purchased a Colt Cobra revolver in October of 2018, he did it through the federal firearms system, right? So you have to fill out forms that then go to the ATF, as I understand it, and they approve or reject, and they approved it because they didn't know better, apparently, at that time. But on the form, he stated that he was not an unlawful user of, addicted to any stimulant, narcotic drug, or any other controlled substance.
Well, if you're asking somebody to determine whether they're addicted or not, that sounds like a clinical diagnosis.
Unlawful user.
What's an unlawful?
It does say and
not
addicted.
At this moment. Like, I am not unlawfully using drugs at this moment.
And maybe he will make that argument if this does go to trial, although I suspect he'll be given a plea deal and will likely
maybe
take
the big
it.
Guy that's been protecting him for years, and sort of allowing and incentivizing him to be a bad actor his entire life, will just abolish the ATF. Wouldn't that be cool?
Anything else, Major Payne, plan for that one?
I think it's the drug law that the old man was pushing, too, if I remember right.
Probably.
Yeah.
He's a big drug warrior.
I wouldn't doubt it at all. Thanks for the call. Jay, apparently they're doing some kind of barter here with silver in New Hampshire that you want to talk about?
Yeah, so if you guys remember Silver Dave, former Special Forces guys, he's got a lot of good information. We'll try to get him on the show sometime again. But anyways, he come up with the silver barter bag, available from jmbullion.com, the ultimate survival tool. This is the most important silver in your stack. You would use this to purchase a basic essentials like a dozen eggs from your neighbor or a basket of vegetables. 1 ounce of silver may be too big. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't want to pay, your neighbor may not have enough eggs for you for 1 ounce.
I don't want $25 worth of eggs.
Yeah, I mean, that's about what it is, right? $25?
I think that's what it is right
so
now.
So it's better to have tenths of an ounce.
Right.
to buy things like that.
And that's what these are. Yes, you pay a slightly higher premium to buy 10 pieces of silver in an ounce than one. But when you go to spend it, you have so much greater spendability. Every time you make a purchase, you will pay with just one single tenth over a silver instead of an ounce. You save 90%. The silver barter bag. Check it out at jmbullion.com. And so, yeah, I actually, about a month ago, I paid a local guy here with hay. I showed him a couple of these things when I bought some hay off him. And the next time I went to go do business with him, he goes, bring me a, he goes, I'll trade you 100 bales of hay for 100 of those 10-ounce things of silver. And that's what we did.
Nice.
And I also did it with some gold backs. I bought some calves with some gold backs from another guy. And then the 1/10-ounce silver, people really, really like them because they just, especially the old farmers, they just understand, you know, the divisibility, the utility. Like, people are like, I want a 100-ounce bar of silver. What are you going to do with that? And then as soon as you start cutting a 100-ounce bar of silver up, now it's no longer a 100-ounce bar of silver. It looks fishy.
I must say that a 100-ounce bar of silver is very interesting to look at, but the utility is highly questionable.
Yeah, it's like having a Ferrari. Yeah. And a 100-ounce bar of silver.
On a gravel road.
Right. The 100 ounces of 1/10-ounce silver is like having a brand-new four-wheel drive diesel pickup truck, basically. Yeah.
Indeed. I like the idea of doing business in hard currency, gold, silver, even cryptocurrency, things like this, because it steps out of a system that empowers liars, thieves, and killers.
Yep, and it's good practice for when things collapse. Like my friend from Russia who moved here to New Hampshire, but he moved in the 90s from Russia, said that Russia had such a healthy black market economy before the collapse that everybody was trading within the black market because Russia was socialist, communist, whatever.
Right.
And they just, everything was taxed so hard that you couldn't trade in the above board market because you just got beaten down so bad financially that everybody used the black market and everybody was, so the black market the black market was still there when Russia collapsed.
Yeah,
that's how the people
survived.
It was
already in place, and it was functioning. And so people,
if we have a financial collapse here, like a lot of people are predicting, and you haven't been practicing in the black market, whether it's cryptocurrency, silver, gold, barter, whatever you got, if you're not exercising that, it's going to be really hard for you if there's a financial catastrophe.
Yeah, it helps if you can create those connections now, right?
Yeah, they're so valuable.
Desperately later.
Well, I sincerely hope that we can get Silver Dave here on the show on Free Talk Live so that he can talk about his work and what he's doing. Very interested. He was a great host, too. Loved having him on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Check us out in the meantime at freetalklive.com. Ian, we're going to make big changes to the website here shortly, right?
Yeah, good point. Thanks for reminding me about that. Yeah, there's something coming.
Yeah, something coming. Something worth keeping an eye on there at freetalklive.com. Or we have an alternative site. It's called ftl.fm. It makes you happier. Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.